Ladies and gentlemen, it is my extreme pleasure to introduce to you a dear, dear, dear friend of mine. You know him as a Hall of Fame running back and Super Bowl MVP, but I know him as L. Riggo. Ladies and gentlemen, John Riggins. John, how are you doing today?
I am fine, Kevin. How are you doing?
Oh, man, lovely, lovely. I was telling the folks that I'm in the studio where we used to record the TV show, and I was going to call it the Kevin Stanfield Memorial Studio, but you said, like, don't jump the gun on that.
Yeah, I don't think you want to go down that road. But by the way, just for the record, you know, I was thinking about this whole deal, and, you know, the fact that you've got your own show now or you're contributing mightily on air, you know, I just want to apologize for holding you back all those years. I just didn't give you enough time. But obviously somebody had the good sense to go ahead and turn it over to you.
Well, I do appreciate it. You know, we have to overcome those obstacles in life. But the reason I wanted to talk to you, John, is because I don't think enough people know about what you're doing right now. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to Riggo44.com, you'll get all the current scoop on what John is doing. And he's doing something amazing. He's doing this show called Riggo on the Range. And let me get out of the way, and John, let you tell the people what's happening with that.
Well, I tell you what, Kevin, a couple years ago, you know, I kind of got out of the hardcore sporting scene, and I've always enjoyed the outdoors, and I've always enjoyed cooking, probably because I enjoy eating so much. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, there's a great combination there because, you know, you go out in the woods, you spend the day with some of your friends and what have you, and you maybe will, you know, shop for whatever's available, and it could be wild mushrooms, it could be venison, it could be pheasant, maybe you'll catch a trout, I don't know, but all I know is wild game makes one delicious meal if you know what you're doing and you're not scared of it. And so I have my own way of cooking game, but I've also teamed up with some of the city's finest chefs, and, you know, Scott Bruno, Robert Wiedmeyer, just to name a couple of them, they take it to the next level. I mean, it's amazing what stuff that they can do, and, the show is really about the guests and having fun and then having a great meal at the end of it. You can see it now on Discovery America. That's one of Destination America is one of the Discovery channels.
Right.
And it's on at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings, or if you're like me, got nothing better to do, you can turn it on at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning and watch it. So whatever fits your fancy, you can record it and watch it later. But it's a show. We have a lot of fun. The first show that was shown 2 weeks ago was myself with some of the Hogs. We did a little fishing trip down in the Outer Banks. Russ Graham, Jeff Bostick, Joe Jacoby, and Donnie Warren. And then last week's show with Joe Gibbs, we went down and visited him in Charlotte at his race palace. So I guess that's what you would call it. And then I'm not sure what the show is this week. I should know that, but I don't.
Now, if you haven't seen the show, I encourage you to go to Riggo44.com and look at some of these clips or some of these things. They can't help but bring a smile to your face because you can see the good time that you guys are having together. Was it as much fun to do it as it appeared to be?
Even more fun. I think, you know, and I'll tell you where it really, it's great meeting new people. We fished with Bobby Knight up in Alaska. That's a series. There's a couple shows that will be later on this year with Bobby in it. But the shows where I've had the most fun is getting together with guys like Russ Grimm and Jeff Bostick and Clint Didier. I mean, we did an elk hunt. Clint lives in Southeast Washington, down in the corner there where Oregon and Idaho and Washington all come together. Mm-hmm. I should say he has a piece of property down there. He lives a little bit further west than there. And, you know, we were there for a week. And, you know, it's so amazing because you get with these guys. And, you know, when you go to bed at night, you feel like you're going to see them at 10 o'clock, you know, at practice the next day. And just go right back to that old spot where you always were. It doesn't even make it, you know, makes no difference. 30 years have gone by. That's where your mindset still is. So they kind of keep you young hanging around these guys, although we don't look that way anymore.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, the cool thing also was as an outsider looking in, it sort of gave me an opportunity to be on the inside. It was almost like I was around the campfire with you guys sharing some of those old stories or laughing at these stories.
Well, that's exactly the way we kind of try and design the show. I think the show is best when basically, although we don't really ever do it, but theoretically, you just let the camera roll and nobody says anything. And really, some of the stuff, the spontaneity and some of the things that the guys say and some of the stories they bring up, I mean, you know, you've heard the stories before, and, you know, if I, for whatever reason, don't see one of these guys for 3 or 4 years and I see them again, they'll tell the same story. But I'll laugh again because, A, it's a great story, and I'll find out something new that I didn't know the first time that they told it. And then they get to, you know, they get to talk, and then you find out, you know, even more stuff, because when you think about guys like Russ and Joe and Jeff and Donnie, I mean, they were together really for so many years that, you know, I was only there for 5 years with those guys. They went on without me. They left me on the ice with the polar bears. And I don't blame them for that. I was holding them back again. I don't know what my deal is.
I don't know, man, but it works out in the end.
And yeah, John, it did.
You know, another thing that I noticed from looking at some of that footage was, like, the real star of the show is this country that you guys are traveling, man. It was some beautiful scenery, right?
Yeah, and yeah, I'll tell you another little secret, just, and for anybody that really is of that persuasion. If you really want to see the United States and you want to turn the clock back about 50 years, get off the interstate. That's what we do. And let me tell you something. Those towns, those little towns like I grew up in, Centralia, Kansas, and some of these places, you drive through, there isn't a whole lot changed. I mean, there has been a lot of changes, but at the same time, the town itself is still the way it was. And it reminds me of when I was a kid and my mom lived, you know, grew up in Minnesota, and it's about a 600-mile trip, and every summer we'd drive up there. It brings back that kind of nostalgia. And, you know, you get to go to the old hardware stores, and there's just so many interesting things out there. But when you're hitting the truck stop after truck stop trying to get from point A to point B as fast as you can, a lot of the stuff passes you by. And we, as you said, Kevin, we get to see some of the most beautiful sights because we do get off of the interstate. And, you know, the Northwest is where we spend a lot of time, and Montana, and like I said, Washington State, and some of those areas around there, Wyoming. It's really been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know personally, it doesn't matter really how big you get in life or where you've been. It's just a humbling experience the first time you see the Rocky Mountains, man. It's nothing like that.
Yeah, you're right. That's ground zero. That brings you right back to where, you know, where the good stuff is, really. Even though, you know, on the flip side of that, take where we hunted with Clint, that's called the Blue Mountains there in the southeast corner of Washington. And, you know, the name of that show is No Country for Old Farts. And let me tell you something, Kevin. It was no fun. And you can't, you know, you imagine it doesn't happen, but I don't like getting too far from camp. I'm not Paul Bunyan. I'll be the first to tell you that. And I don't want to be spending the night in the woods by myself. That just doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. But it is a great place, but you got to respect it.
Yeah. Now, you know, John, I'm city born and city bred, you know, but I could tell from watching this the respect that you guys, you and your guests, that you all had for nature, right? It's not just a bunch of guys out just hanging out, not knowing what they're doing. I won't say professionalism, but you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah, I mean, you really, to go where we've gone, you got to have a little something going on.
Right.
I mean, A, there's an element, you know, there's a little bit of skill. In fact, there's a lot of skill in fishing, you know, but particularly when you get into the fly fishing type of stuff, hunting, same thing. You've got to understand the animals or the birds, whatever it may be that, you know, what you're after, and understand their patterns and where they may be located at any particular time of day. And, you know, it can get tough. You know, like, if you get an animal down, particularly a big animal, and you're pretty way far away, I mean, you know, all the fun and the adrenaline and the hunt and all that stuff is, you know, all this all goes away, and now really the work begins, because you've got to, you know, take care of the animal. And, you know, let's say you got a 500-600-pound elk, you ain't taking him on your back and dragging him back to camp. So that's about 4 or 5 trips. And by the time, you know, if you're 3 or 4 miles away in rough country, it ain't a lot of fun. That part is where it's kind of like time for the stunt guy.
I heard that.
Done here.
Hey, we're talking to Hall of Fame running back and Super Bowl MVP John Riggins. Now, John, my personal I love all the show, but my personal favorite is when you throw that apron on and prepare your catch. Now, I want to tell everybody, if they go to RiggOnTheRange.com, they also have a list of recipes, man, and this stuff looks so mouthwatering, man. So tell me about a couple of your favorites.
Well, you know, I love to grill, and so I do a lot of stuff out on the grill, and, you know, like the tenderloins with the venison or the elk or even the antelope are just really are fantastic out there. The one thing I will tell people is, particularly when it comes to wild game, once again, and that's the whole part, we, you know, it isn't about killing something. It's about harvesting what Mother Nature has to offer and really appreciating it and bringing it home and preparing it. I mean, anybody can go to the store and buy that nice little package of steak that's all wrapped up in cellophane, and you don't have a clue where the process, what it went through to get there. And most of us don't want to know, because having traveled as much as I have, I've been by a lot of the feedlots out in, well, in Kansas and in Panhandle, Oklahoma. It ain't a pretty sight, but that's a story for another time.
Right.
The recipes themselves, there's some of them that I've created, and it's just, I'm kind of fly by the seat of my pants and just create stuff as I go. And of course, some of the stuff is the big boys downtown, the professionals. And, you know, it's just really, like I said, overcooking wild game, I think, is the number one, I want to say, mistake that most people make. And that's when you get to, oh, it's tough or it's gamey. And that's, you know, when somebody gives you, they're cleaning out their freezer and they say, hey, you like some venison? You ever tried it, have you? And you go, yeah. Been in there for about 3 years with freezer burned.
Right, right.
Let me tell you what, a prime steak is going to taste gamey if that's the way it's been treated.
Right, right. Now, I know that, you know, you came back from one of your adventures and you blessed me with a piece of elk, and first time I had, let alone tasted, the first time I ever touched elk. But you know, I took a little time, did a little research, saw how to hook it up, how to throw it on the grill. Like you said, overcooking is a mistake, right? Made a nice little molasses sauce, and I'm telling you, man, this was amazing. This was something I think that people get locked into a routine, doing the same thing over and over again, and they're afraid a lot of times to step outside of that. But you know, it's a great big beautiful world out there full of good eating, man.
You know what's interesting, Kevin, is I've noticed there's one of the big chains here in town. I'm not going to mention who it is, but they've got a store in McLean, and I shop at a lot of the different stores from time to time. This is the only store I know that they have. You can go over there and you can buy now, I mean, quail, venison, buffalo, duck, goose, and I'm trying to think. I think there's one more I may be forgetting, and I'm just shocked that, you know, there's been a proliferation of actually game at your grocery store. Now, not every grocery store stocks these kind of items, but this particular one over in McLean does. And it's kind of unique because, obviously, there must be the people in that area of Virginia probably are pretty well healed, and they appreciate that kind of stuff. So there's definitely an appetite for wild game.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, John, I'm just so happy for you, man, because this thing, I encourage everybody, again, go to Riggo44.com, look at all the links that John has to Riggo on the Range, and you just see, it's an incredible thing. It's put together so well, and it's just so beautiful, and like you said, you and the guys exchanging those stories that some of us have heard 100 times and some of us have never heard, man. But it's the total experience, man, that is just so cool. But before I let you go, I got to ask you this, John. I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a long time. One of the highlights of my year so far is seeing you and those hogs on that 18-wheeler in that Papa John's commercial. Right? That was an amazing thing. Now, how did that come about?
Well, you know, basically, you know, we all got together to do the fishing trip. And so we were, you know, I'm spokesman here for some of the Papa John's stores here in D.C. and around. And, you know, I just mentioned, well, maybe I could get Russ and Joe and Doc and Jeff and, you know, maybe we can do a spot with them. And then that's when the creative process just took over and they came up with that. And, of course, the guys agreed to do it. And it was just, once again, it was a heck of a lot of fun seeing everybody. And I kind of got, you know, I got a kick out of doing it with them. And I thought, I have to say, I think it turned out pretty well.
Hey, here's the main question, though. Did they actually let you drive that truck?
No. And I was going to. The guy said, oh, we got to get back to Philadelphia. And I went, damn.
You should have drove the truck.
Because you know that when I was a kid, I figured that was the only way I was leaving Centralia was to become a truck driver. And once again, this is the irony of what I'm doing now, is that I always envisioned, because I wanted to see the United States. I always envisioned, you know, seeing the sequoias and the redwoods and the Grand Canyon and the Rockies, like you said, and Lake Superior and all. And I figured the only way I was going to do is become a truck driver and just drive the country and, you know, get paid. That'd be my job, and that way I could see it. So I'm kind of doing that now, and then here I go do this commercial, and I get to sit in the front seat of one of those things, but they don't let me drive it around the block. That was a little second.
Next year. Next time. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Like I said, if you don't get Destination America in your home, call your service provider tonight and tell them, I want Riggo on the range. And you can also go to Riggo44.com and get the latest on John. And you can also follow him on Twitter at Riggo44. John, thank you so much, man.
Kevin, it's always my pleasure. And as always, best of luck.
All right. Best to everybody, John.